Hi, I'm Mal Majoros. I am an 8-year cancer survivor. My blog, The Cancer Warrior, is one of the top 10 breast cancer blogs, according to blogs.com. I'm here to bring a fresh, upbeat perspective to a topic that to some may seem scary. A positive mental attitude got me through my cancer, and I hope to share that with you. Facebook is one of my favorite things to find groups and organizations and survivors to talk to you about on the show. And today, I'm talking to a couple ladies. They are the Chemo Chicks. Is that correct? Did I get that right?
Yes.
All right.
Yep, that's us.
That's my chemo brain coming through. I'm like, wait, hold on, what happened? It's Nancy and Holly. You can tell us a little about yourself. Holly is Nancy's niece. Did I get that right? Okay.
Yes.
See, and you guys are just starting chemo, and this is like 8 years out for me, so look what you have to go through. Holly and Nancy are both survivors.
This is Holly, and
yes.
I am a breast cancer survivor, and Auntie is ovarian.
Ovarian.
So we have two different types of cancer.
Yeah.
See, now I don't know what the hell I'm talking about. Okay. So
that's okay.
So we're both going through treatment right now?
Yes, that is
okay.
Correct.
So that's kind of crazy in the family. So who was diagnosed first?
This is Holly, and I was diagnosed on November 18th of this last year.
Oh, wow. So how did you find out you had cancer? I mean, did you find a lump? Did you go get a mammogram? Did they say blood work?
No. Yeah, actually, I went in for my, ironically, I go in every year, you know, for my mammograms.
That's good.
And every year they always have me come back and, you know, look at it a little bit more. And I do it as a birthday gift to myself. So on my birthday, I went and got my mammogram, and on November the 11th, I got a call saying, Holly, you need to come back. We've had significant change. So I went in right away, had it, you know, more x-rays, looked at it, and they wanted me to go in for a biopsy. And so they referred me right away to the surgeon.
So what happened after that? How much did they take out? They took out a
mm-hmm.
lump? Did they take out your lymph nodes? What did they do?
Oh, okay. So after that, I went in and mm-hmm. They did two core biopsies, and I met with the surgeon and met with my radiologist, mm-hmm. and they said those words, you have cancer, on
mm-hmm.
November 18th.
Uh-huh.
So from that, then, you know, decisions needed to be made. I had to, you know, sit down with my team of doctors, which, you know, is
mm-hmm.
I have a great team of doctors, and we decided that we were going to go ahead and do the double mastectomy, and I had that, and followed by with, I had all my lymph nodes removed on my right side.
Mm-hmm. Wow. That's a lot to do.
Mm-hmm.
And how old are you, if I may ask? Is that all right to ask you?
I'm 51.
Okay. So, I mean, yeah, that's still, I don't know. They always say, oh, yeah, well, you're too young. And I'm glad you get your mammogram for your birthday, but we got to talk about you getting
mm-hmm.
maybe just a better birthday present, maybe a night out with the girls.
Yeah,
you know,
that's
not,
right. That's
not necessarily the mammogram, which is good to have, but, you know, maybe dinner out. Tell the husband, you know what, maybe this year, the mammogram and a nice dinner. And
yeah,
a bottle of wine.
That's right. Well, next year I won't have a mammogram because
exactly.
I don't have anything to mammogram.
I have no mam to gram, as my friend would say. Will you be getting the? Will you be getting your implants?
Reconstruction.
Yeah.
So
yes.
My plan right now is to. Well, I have to finish chemotherapy, so mm-hmm. I should be done by the end of April, barring that I don't get sick.
Right.
And then after that, my journey will be, since Auntie has been diagnosed with ovarian, and
mm-hmm.
my mom, who's Aunt Nancy's sister, had breast cancer as well, and then their mom also died of cancer, and we
mm-hmm.
think it was either ovarian or stomach related.
Oh.
So my next part of my journey will be get my ovaries out, so to prevent me from getting ovarian cancer, because ovarian and breast run
mm-hmm.
hand in hand. They're the sister cancers.
Yes.
And then after that, I'm going to wait probably a year to do my reconstruction. So I will have reconstruction done with the new gummy bear implants. They're fairly new in the last couple of years. I will have those put in probably this time next year.
Gummy bear implants. Hold on. I haven't heard about this. What?
Yeah. So gummy bear implants are silicone implants. But what they are is you think of them like a little actual gummy bear. And the way that they were explained to me is if you bite the head off of a gummy bear, nothing leaks out.
Oh.
So these new silicone implants, they feel like natural breasts. And they are silicone, but there's nothing that will leak out. Like if something popped, it wouldn't leak out like the normal silicone implants. So that's what I'm opting for. Of course, they give you choices. You can get that, or you can get the trans flap, which, you know, they take your stomach tissue and move it up.
Right.
Or you can have the regular saline implants or silicone implants, but I'm opting for the gummy bear implant.
The gummy bear, which is hilarious. I think it's funny they call it that because I'm just picturing a gummy bear. You know, if they could do that, just one whole piece, that would be easier, right? Like a gummy bear? No?
That's right. Yeah.
If we just put the feet and the head and
gummy
one.
Bears in. That's right. But, you know, as you know, people who go through reconstruction, it's much more than just putting in, you know, the implants.
Oh, yes.
You actually have to go through the tissue expanders and the tissue expanders. From what I hear, because I started a support group when I found out that I had cancer. I started a support group with 4 women, you know, all ages. Mm-hmm. And now it's my group has escalated to about 45 women are actually in our group. And some of them are newly diagnosed all the way through, you know, some of the women have actually gone through treatment. So we post pictures. It's a very private group on Facebook. But from what I can see, that the ladies that are going through, you know, with the tissue expanders, that's a whole, you know, process in itself. It's very painful. So I know that I have a little bit longer my journey to go, but, you know, I guess that, you know, the end result will be that I will, you know, I'll be whole again as far as my breasts go.
With the gummy bears. Now, Nancy was diagnosed after this?
Yes.
So tell me a little bit about yourself, Nancy.
Well, mine was just really a shock because I kept going back and forth to the doctor because I was having a hard time breathing. And the doctor thought I had asthma. And so I was on inhalers and I was on 2 different kinds of inhalers. But I kept going back and I kept saying to her, why am I gaining weight? I hardly eat. And finally, after 3 or 4 visits, we decided that I should have a lung x-ray and a chest x-ray. And I heard the gentleman that did the x-ray, I heard him make a comment. He says, oh, my. And I thought, oh, my gosh, this doesn't sound good.
Keep those comments to yourself, sir.
So she calls me that same evening, and she says, Nancy, you have pneumonia, and it looks like you could have a collapsed lung.
Oh, is that all? She just calls you instead of not coming?
Yeah.
Don't come into the office, by the way. You have pneumonia and a collapsed lung.
Pardon?
I said, don't you think that's something they'd want to call you into the office for?
Well, I would have thought so. I think she sounded very concerned. She said, I've already put you on antibiotics for the pneumonia. She says, if you're not feeling better, I want you to go into emergency. So I said, okay. So I called my daughter-in-law, and my daughter-in-law says, you're not waiting. I'm taking you into emergency right now.
You have a collapsed lung.
We're not going to wait around for this.
We're not waiting, Nancy. You have a collapsed lung.
Yeah, we're not waiting. You're going in now.
Wow.
So I said, oh, okay. So we went into emergency, and one thing led to another. They admitted me into the hospital. They really didn't know what I had. They kept running lots of tests on me, and they decided we need to drain your lungs because there was so much fluid.
Wow.
I had over 6 pounds of fluid in my lungs.
Ooh. Wow.
That's the reason why I had such a hard time breathing.
That's crazy. And you think, I mean,
and that's the reason why I gained weight.
So you lost 6 pounds then?
I lost 6 pounds just from fluid.
Wow.
And so when I heard them, we're going to send the fluid out for testing. And, you know, like one thing led to another. And they sent the oncologist in.
Ugh.
And, you know, they said, we need to find out where this is coming from. Well, I was told, and I didn't realize this, when you have ovarian cancer, you have shortness of breath.
Oh.
And I was getting a lot of shortness of breath, and I didn't know. I thought it was just from the asthma. And but it wasn't from that. It was they finally, after all the tests, the CT scans, the MRIs, they finally narrowed it down that it started and it was ovarian.
That's interesting. I've never heard that it causes shortness of breath.
Do they know
why? What happened was, because I was there with her for most, a lot of the time in the hospital, is that the fluid was starting from the bottom down by where the bottom of her diaphragm, and it was pushing up. The fluid was moving upward, and so that's what caused her collapsed lung. So, you know, that stomach lining, that's where, you know, the fluid was coming up and ruptured her lung.
That's scary. And is the doctor that you were seeing, was that your primary care physician?
That was my primary care physician.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah. And, you know, I've had this for a while because I had an episode last year, same time last year in February, where she diagnosed me with asthma. And this was probably the beginning of this all starting to manifest in my body.
Oh, so what stage were you diagnosed at?
4.
Oh. Yeah, that's the hard thing about ovarian cancer. It's hard to detect. So, you know, you can't fault your doctor. However, for this year, I would say to people, if you're sick and you keep going back to your doctor, regardless if it's cold or flu season or whatever, you know, like you did, ask to get a chest x-ray, get some kind of scan, because you never know.
Right. Right. And it was a shock.
Oh,
I mean, you know, it was a lot to take in. I was 11 days in the hospital. And so it was a lot to take in to process. But once I was able to process it, because I have a lot of faith.
Yes, you do.
And I processed it with God. And finally, you know, recognizing I'm not going to fight this. There's a reason why this is happening. I'm going to embrace it. And however you're going to, the journey you're going to take me down or through, I'm going to embrace it. And I'm not going to fear. I'm not going to be afraid.
Right.
That's good. So when you were diagnosed, have they removed your ovaries? Is that something
not yet. I have to go through the chemo first.
Oh, okay.
For 4 months, and then make sure that the lungs are clear, and then I'll go through having the ovaries out.
Now, will you have a full hysterectomy for that, or just the oophorectomy?
Well, I've already had a partial hysterectomy. I don't have my uterus.
Oh, so you're like, down there. I had a hysterectomy because one of the medications I had caused an endometrial cyst that grew into a mass. And my doctor was like, well, they're considering options about taking out the ovaries and the uterus, and I'm just like, you know what, you're down there, take them all out. I'm not using them. It's all good.
Yeah. You know, I wish that when I had my partial hysterectomy, they would have taken out my ovaries. I'm so happy that my sister had her ovaries taken out years ago, so that my sister doesn't have to worry about this, because I wouldn't want her to have to go through this.
No. Now, have you anyone in your family taken the BRCA test?
Yes, I have. I'm in the process of it right now.
Now, have you gotten
it? So my BRCA, there was a variance, this is Holly, and my BRCA, I had a variance on the BRCA2. So because I've had the variance in the BRCA2, then Auntie also went through the genetic testing, and both of our genetic doctors or nurses, they have both of our, well, they have my results, so they're comparing the two, and we're waiting for hers to come back right now.
Now, will you have your granddaughter or any nieces or anything tested as well?
Well, I have two daughters, so I definitely, I'm sharing my results with my sister, Heidi, who's 45, and then my two daughters. I have adult daughters as well, so, and I have a granddaughter. So most definitely when we get the test back, depending on what hers comes back as, you know, it'll tell us exactly what we need to do for the family. But, you know, with the BRCA, you know, tests, even though I had a variant, doesn't mean that she will have the same variant. I mean, they might not have discovered the test yet to be able to test. You link us together.
Right.
So we know that, you know, that even though we're praying that, you know, that it'll link us together, but if it doesn't, we know that in 5, 6, you know, a year from now, you know, there might be a test that will link us together for our cancers.
Yeah.
Because it seems so odd with our family history of all the women having cancer, mm-hmm. you know, both ovarian and breast, that we're not, you know, linked together in one way or another. We've got to be, if, you know, it has to be. It can't be just a coincidence.
And if they discover that it is, they have a medication for ovarian that you could take that directly goes towards that cancer.
Oh, good.
Yeah, which yeah. I never knew.
Yeah, I had Herceptin because I had the ERPR positive for the breast, uh-huh. breast cancer. I didn't have the BRCA gene, but I had that. So that was targeted gene therapy, which, you know, they're, you know, just 10 years ago, 15 years ago, they didn't have that. And they're making all sorts of leaps and bounds with genetic testing and
yes,
and medicine.
Yes.
You know, even as we speak, someone's probably discovering something.
Yeah.
So while you may be worried, you know, obviously you're concerned about your children and your grandchildren, you know, in 5 years, God forbid they get cancer, they might just have to take it one, you know, one shot. Okay, you're done. Let's
right.
hope. Let's
I
hope.
Have a granddaughter that's 32.
Oh.
And she is definitely waiting to hear my report mm-hmm. so she can know what to do with her own, you know, with herself.
Right.
So, but one thing about ovarian cancer that I didn't know, usually when you hit your 70s is when it does develop.
Really?
Yes,
so.
That's what I was told.
That, I didn't know that because I've known a lot of ovarian cancer survivors who are mm-hmm. Younger, unfortunately,
yeah.
who are in the 30s.
They say the usual is when you hit your 70s, and I'm 71.
So you just waited, you just wanted to wait until you were 70 and be like, all right, I'll be like everybody
yes.
else. Sure.
You know, I mean, you know, it is so, you know, you're going along in life
mm-hmm.
and you're going with all your activities. You know, I'm a very active person. I love to walk. I eat very healthy.
Yes.
And then all of a sudden there's a hiccup in the road and you go, oh, you know, I watched my niece go through her chemo and mm-hmm. the things that she was facing. And I always thought, God, I don't know if I could go through something like that. And because I watch her and she's so brave and courageous. And God, I don't even know if I would even do chemo because it just seems so ugly. You know, even the word
mm-hmm.
ugly.
Yes,
chemo.
It's true.
And then when it hit me, it's like there's a grace that comes to you that carries you.
It's true.
That you're able to face it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Well, it's true. I mean, it's your life, and you know, you look at your children and your, you know, your circle of friends. I don't have kids, but my, you know, my circle of friends, my family, and it's like, okay, well, like you said, I was active, I ate right, and you know, I got cancer, and you know, I don't want to just, like you said, just roll over and do nothing, and you know, God took me through it as well. Getting all the chemo and the radiation and the surgery and everything. So, you know, like, as you ladies are an inspiration, I didn't not necessarily think of yourself as an inspiration, but it's like, okay, well, if I can do it, then I would say pretty much anyone can. But I think the most important thing to think of is like, yes, you were healthy. I was healthy. We both ate right. But the most important thing is we went to the doctor.
Yes.
Make sure we go and see the doctor and get the mammograms, and your granddaughter or your daughter should probably, since she's 32 and she has a history of cancer in the family, she should probably have a mammogram now.
Oh, yeah.
You know, even though they say
that,
who knows?
Most definitely.
Tomorrow,
yeah.
Tomorrow the mammogram guidelines might change. Who knows? Because they
mm-hmm.
seem to change
yeah.
every time you turn around.
And, but, you know, women, listen to your bodies.
Yes.
We are mm-hmm. our best when we listen to our bodies. And like when I kept telling the doctor for months, I don't understand why I'm gaining weight. I don't eat that much.
Right.
I'm active. Mm-hmm.
And that's not how you are. Right.
Mm-hmm.
And so we
have to listen to our bodies. Mm-hmm. And sometimes if the doctors don't listen, you know, pursue it. Press in.
Right. Find another doctor. They work for you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I mean,
yeah. And another thing that I would say to people, too, is if you do, or, you know, I would say people, because men get breast cancer too,
exactly.
you know, and other cancers, that if you do have to face chemo, the best thing to do is to have a positive outlook, like mm-hmm. Auntie and I do.
Yes.
We're always laughing. Even when we're hooked up to our chemo we're laughing, we're cutting jokes, we're mm-hmm. talking to the person next to us. We're trying to be, you know, the inspiration to others, because chemo can be such a scary thing.
Yes.
But if you embrace it, and if you just go, okay, chemo, you're not going to have me, I'm going to laugh my way through it, it makes it so much easier. So, you know, just do it as fun. I mean, like right now I have no hair, but I'm constantly making jokes about my hair, or, you know, or even when I, you know, don't have my fake prosthetic boobs on and somebody's looking at me and they're looking at me like, you're different. You know, you've got, you know, here I have my, you know, I have my hoodie on, or I have, you know, they look at you that you're different. And I'll whisper to a girl, yeah, I forgot my boobs at home or something.
That's awesome.
You know, hopefully I could say that on your show, but
you can.
I do it as an inspiration because it has touched other people. I had somebody the other day at the store pull me aside and she said, I just had a biopsy and I'm waiting for my results. And I could tell that, you know, you're an inspiration to others. I gave her my phone number, you know, please call me if I can help you in any way. But I think the important thing is just to be positive and just joke your way through it, laugh your way through it.
Exactly.
And it makes it a lot better. It really does.
And fine.
Yeah. When I went to the geneticist, mm-hmm. I think that's what you call them. Mm-hmm. When I walked in, she looked at me and she said, oh my gosh, I was expecting to see somebody so different than what I'm seeing that's sitting here in front of me. And I said, really? She said, yeah. I said, you know something? I'm okay. I'm in the best hands that I could be in, and that's in the Lord's hands. And he's taking
exactly.
care of me. And I'm going to enjoy life.
Mm-hmm. Yes. And
that's the attitude that I have set, like my niece. I mean, yeah, I am not going to let this get me. I'm an overcomer.
And that's how you founded ChemoChecks. How soon after were you diagnosed that you founded your Facebook page? Or did that come from the group that you started and then it just kind of worked?
My son started it I was in the hospital.
Mm-hmm.
That's cool.
They said, Mom, you've got to have a voice.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Because you are the one that's going through this, and you can help other people, and Holly can help other people. So they were the ones that came up with the name ChemoChecks.
Nice. Yeah, and you have to have
a
voice.
Cool?
That is very cool. And you have a voice because some people won't or can't.
Yeah.
And I think that's why I started blogging and eventually getting on the show, is because I feel that, okay, I'm okay to speak about my cancer now. I wasn't in the very beginning, but
mm-hmm.
I know that some people, you know, just were too, you know, you hear the word cancer and then it's just like nobody wants to talk to you. It's like, I had somebody, I was at work and somebody said, hey, yeah, you look great. Are you going to the gym? I said, no, I have cancer. It's the best diet I ever had. And they looked at me like, what? I was like, like you said, you got to laugh. What? That's crazy talk. I mean, like you said, you have to laugh at it. I mean, you know, surround yourself with positive people. If you're, you know,
absolutely.
My fiance, he would go with me to the infusions all the time. And there were some friends that I lost along the way because they couldn't handle it, which is fine. Some mm-hmm. people, you know, I never get mad at somebody. I used to, but I don't get mad at anybody who kind of falls by the wayside. If they say, oh, yeah, my friend couldn't handle mm-hmm. that cancer. Well, you don't know what their relationship with cancer was. Maybe they see a relative
right.
that passed away in you. So,
right. There are loved ones and friends of mine that have been shying away from seeing me because mm-hmm. they, I think, just seeing
right.
like me now and looking at me the way I was, you know, I look like a totally different person. Doesn't mean that I'm not going to look like the way I used to down the
right.
road, but I look sick. You
right.
know, I do. I look sick. I've got ashen face. My face is ashen. I have no hair. You know, it's not a pretty sight. And I know that, you know, some of my friends and family, you know, that they don't want to see me like this. They hurt, you know,
right.
it hurts them to see me like this. And I understand that. And, you know, first I took it personal and,
mm-hmm.
you know,
I
had the saying, you know, friends don't let, you know, friends fight cancer alone. But now I realize, you know, that they're hurting too. So, you know, they're processing what I'm going through and
mm-hmm.
Auntie, you know, what she's going through. So we just have to let them have their space and process it, and know that we're, you know, we're both going to be okay. Regardless, God makes us whole in this life, or God makes us whole in heaven. We are going to be, we're going to be whole one day. Both.
That's
of us.
True. That's very true. So, that's how many? Right. You have 397 people liking your Facebook page right now. That's a lot.
Oh, great.
That's a lot of people that you don't even know, right? Because I don't. Mm-hmm. I mean, I couldn't personally fill a room with like 397 people that I physically know. Besides Facebook mm-hmm. people, that almost 400 people are following you and getting your wisdom and inspiration, you know, whether it be survivors or caregivers or just someone who just stumbled upon your page and like, whoa, what's this about? I mean, isn't that amazing?
You know, I think it's really important. Even before I found out that I had cancer, I look back and at my journal and I can do the things that I wrote down. Mm-hmm. And one of my prayers was, God, I want my life to count for your kingdom. And little did I know that this journey, how important it is that God uses our lives for other people that count for his kingdom, to encourage, to care, to love people in what they're going through. There was a lady in the hospital that was crying every night and coughing and coughing. Mm-hmm. And my heart just went out to her, and I'm laying there and I'm praying for her and I'm saying, God, please help her. She sounds like she's so alone and that she's fearful. And I had a chance to talk with her, and you know, that's what it's all about. It's loving somebody and letting them know that they're not alone.
Right.
Giving them hope.
I mean, that's true. I mean, there's nothing more that you can give someone as if it's hope, because
yeah.
You know, all the, like you said, you look ashen and you're bald, and I don't know if you lost your eyebrows. I lost some of my eyebrows. I felt like, you know, the aliens were going to come in X-Files and Mulder and Scully when I lost my hair.
You look like a worm.
She really doesn't look that bad because her smile just overshadows that.
Well, I mean, like you said, it's not about how you look. It's how what you project out there to the world, basically.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, you could.
Yeah.
Some of the greatest people may not have, you know, what's inside is more important. And, you know, cancer and chemo take a lot from us and make us look a lot different than what we are. And I think, you know, one of the important things about chemo checks is that you're showing that it's like, well, you don't have to worry about what you look like, obviously. It's just what's in your heart and how you
that's
love God,
right.
and how you can help other people.
That's right.
And that's like the most important thing.
Amen, sister. That's right.
So now, where do you plan to go from here after chemo checks? You're getting your sights on a road trip, you know, taking it across country with the help of your son? Spreading the word.
We plan on having, that we're going to have a big celebration.
Nice.
Yeah, I think that's one thing I'm looking forward to. You know, before this all happened, actually, before we found out Auntie had cancer, in my mind, I was thinking that we'd do like a girls' trip, you know,
my mom,
which is her sister, myself and her, and maybe my sister and, you know, and her two daughter-in-laws, maybe doing a road trip, not a road trip, but doing like a trip somewhere because we have a timeshare.
Yeah.
Nice.
But now it's kind of like, we just want to get all our family in one room and
yes.
not have to worry about germs. So, I mean, hopefully,
we
can get through our chemo.
You don't want to be in like a big plastic bubble like that John Travolta movie in the 70s. Hey, everybody, here
yeah,
I am.
That's right.
The giant hamster
yeah.
wheel.
Yeah, you know, everywhere Auntie and I have, everywhere we go, we have to wear masks. So,
right.
you know, we call ourselves the mask bandits, you know.
So, do you ever just tell
nice
people?
A partner, you know, that I can wear a mask with.
Do you ever just tell people that you're like Michael Jackson fans or something? Because that's what he used
no.
to
No, but I've had people ask me. Well, because we live in Northern California, I had a lady ask me the other day, she's like, you know, I just have to ask, do you wear your mask because you, you know, do you have bad allergies? I said, no, I have cancer. And I said, I have no hair, too. And I took my hat off.
That's
and she's
awesome.
Like, I'm sorry. My daughter has allergies. I was just wondering. I said, no, that's okay. Don't worry
that's
about
funny.
It. So, you know, the mask, I can hide behind it. But often I just tell people when I'm looking at them, I say, I'm smiling behind my mask. Can you see my smile?
That's awesome. Well, just like that, it's been a half hour. Isn't that crazy? That's
That is.
I knew you guys would talk. You're good talkers, but you already told me that, so it's all good.
Yeah.
Facebook.com/chemochicks is where we can find you ladies. If you have any questions, if you're a survivor, if you're just wondering, if you need a little inspiration, check out Nancy and Holly's Facebook page. Thank you so much for joining me, ladies. If you hang on, I'm going to wrap up like I usually do. This is Mal Majoris. I'm the Cancer Warrior. You can always find me on Facebook because I'm a Facebook junkie. Check out my blog. I finally wrote one after so much time, thecancerwarrior.blogspot.com. And as always, life looks pretty good from where I'm sitting. Sending you good vibes. It's a Cancer Warrior on EmpireRadio.com.